The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
I'm Rachel True.
And I'm Trent Venegas.
And you're listening to Quoting Gene Roddenberry,
the 100-day podcast that celebrates what would have been the 100th birthday of the man that created Star Trek.
Each day between now and the end of our podcast,
August 19th,
one of Star Trek's biggest icons,
or celebrity fans,
or both, will be quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Then we're going to take a deep dive into why we think this sci-fi legend still has a lot to say to the world.
Is read by Discovery's own Patrick Kwok-Chun.
In a very real sense, we are all aliens on a strange planet. We spend most of our lives reaching out and trying to communicate. If during our whole lifetime we could reach out and really communicate with just two people, we are indeed fortunate.
And we would like to welcome back our guest host this week, actress Charisma Carpenter. Welcome back, Charisma.
Hi, thanks, guys. I liked his voice so much.
Yeah, he read that really well, right?
Yeah, he has a nice speaking voice.
No, it was so beautiful. I was going to say the same thing. I was like, I want him to read everything to me from now on. Because he also sounded so optimistic.
And with a smile on his face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was optimistic and very handsome. Go look at the video.
So in terms of this quote, the first thing that resonated with me, I think that Gene is absolutely right that we are essentially, quote unquote, aliens to one another in a greater sense on our planet. I hate the term illegal aliens. We've talked about that many times before.
Oh.
But when you think about the fact that, you know, we travel to other parts of the planet that might be very different from where we're from, with a different language and different culture and different modes of dress. And they may look alien, quote unquote, to us, and we look alien to them. So I think that that's kind of like the thing that Gene is getting at. And, you know, we've also talked many times on this podcast about how there are so many parts of our own planet that are still unexplored. You know, like more than half of this planet is covered in oceans we've never fully explored here on planet Earth. So in that sense, when you think about like our tiny little speck of a blue planet in the vastness of the universe, we are just as alien to one another. There are parts of our planet that are alien to us. There are species of plant life and animal life that I'm sure we've yet to discover. So this
I like
quote,
how we're going to Mars, but we haven't even been to like a deep trench
exactly,
in the ocean.
Exactly,
you know?
Right.
It is bizarre.
Yeah.
I think this quote is kind of cool in the sense that what everything you said, Trent, because we are all aliens. I think the part that really resonates for me is like that makes me a little bittersweet. Because it's true in my life.
Yeah.
You know, if during your whole lifetime you could just reach out and communicate or really touch two people, then you're lucky to have that connection, right? And as performers, which Charisma Carpenter, like obviously you've touched many, many, many people with your roles, right? But I'm taking this quote to mean in like our very personal, interpersonal connection. And yes, I've got friends and all of that. But I think when you really have a meeting of the mind, you know, and you really kind of get simpatico with someone and understand that that's not very often. So I agree that if you have two good friends, you're ahead of the ballgame, frankly, that you can trust.
Yeah.
Charisma, what do you think?
I love this quote. I'm thinking about the alien aspect of it. And I think what that meant to me is that, you know how we're all just in our own heads and we all just have our own way of thinking and our own way of interpreting our own way of our own inner life. And sometimes, you know, I just feel so socially awkward. I just feel like I don't belong. I don't understand or how to relate to some groups of people, even family members, you know? And so I think that's that is a very real sense. That is very real. I think at different points in our lives or situations, we've all felt foreign and not a part of. It's really rare. I met somebody in probably January, and it's as if I've known that person my entire life. I mean, I'm not talking about romance or anything. I just mean it's really amazing to have a connection where you truly feel fundamentally you're aligned on so many subjects, you know, philosophically, relationally, if that's a word. I think what happens is if we can push through not feeling awkward and out of place and not belonging enough to really just be authentic and just really say our truth and say the loving thing if you feel it and say the anger thing if you feel it, like not harshly, but like just really speak your truth and be yourself. I think the opportunity to connect with somebody else on a really intense level goes way up. And it is so mutually beneficial.
What you just said resonates with me so much, Charisma, because I've kind of realized, you know, I've always been a career-centric person or work or whatever it is. I can spend time alone. I enjoy my own company. But I very much want to put love in there, you know? And part of that, to be able to find a true, real love, right? Not just silly kitten love, but real love means being able to be vulnerable, being able to speak your truth, even if you think the other person might not like it. Hopefully you parse your words carefully. But I'm saying as a Gen X woman, I was kind of raised up to be like, oh, men, okay, whatever you need, whatever you want, by boomer parents. These are the things I'm trying to dismantle in my own brain right now as a woman of a certain age so that I can attract that real love, so that I'm not suddenly, because look at me, I'm an aggressive chick, and suddenly I can revert to being like, well, how can I possibly fit into this man's world, and how can I mold myself? And that has never served me. And I know that's not exactly what you mean, but it's in the same vein, wouldn't you say, Charisma?
I do. I think what you're saying is completely identifiable and relatable to what I was saying. I think feeling alien is the human experience.
Yeah.
And if we can just let our guards down, but the truth of the matter is we have to be smart enough to identify the person you're trusting your vulnerability with. We have to pay attention and not just, we have to trust the people that we share this stuff with. We have to show up, not just in service of words, but just really present in a way that is actionable.
It's another amazing point you just made, because Trent, I find that I've had to, and I kind of learned this a long time ago because I'm old now, but what I learned was don't call up so-and-so or share something with this person if you consider them a frenemy. And why do you have any frenemies around you, True? Get rid of them, which I did. But I'm saying, you know, a lot of us, we want to connect so bad that we sometimes don't discern.
Right.
We have to use discernment when it comes to people, right? And is this someone I can trust with my heart? And we live in Hollywood, right? And we know, Charisma, you can't trust everyone with your secrets. So I that's why this quote says, if you can really communicate with two people, you're learning and you're lucky.
It's very nice to have a lot of people in your friend group, your acquaintances, in your circle, wider circle, should we say, extended circle. But if you have like two or three really, really close friends, that's really all you need, or I feel like that I need. And, you know, my best friends are, I am the most fortunate to have these people in my life, because I, you know, Charisma, what you mentioned earlier about like you met this friend and you feel this kismet with them, or you feel this comfortable nature with them. And I can be with my best friend, Sarah, and I don't have to worry about like what I look like or if I'm in a bad mood or if I'm hangry or anything. Like I can just be me however I am at any given time. And she's not only going to accept that, she's going to welcome that. And she, you know, we've been through so much together that we have this comfort that goes beyond friendship and family. Like, I firmly believe if I were not gay, she and I would have been married a long time ago, and it would, you know, it'd be a romance for the ages in another, you know, in another parallel universe or something. But in this universe, in my existence, we were just meant to be best friends, and that is more than good enough for me.
You could be soulmates without the sexual part. I always say even your worst enemy, frankly, is your nemesis, mm-hmm. is probably a soulmate, because mm-hmm. there's a strong connection there and a lesson to be gained, yeah. whether it's your own patience yeah. or whatever it is, you know. But that's lovely that you have a soulmate like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
that she feels safe.
Yeah. The other thing that resonated with me about if you can reach out and really communicate with just two people, communication is not just me saying things. It's a back and forth. It has to be back and forth. So it's not just a one-way street. So a lot of people, you know, for the longest time, I thought communication is just like you're being fed something or you're feeding something. But communication is really back and forth between, you know, two people. I've talked previously about how when I blogged for, seems like a million years ago, it was a pop culture blog, but I talked very openly and daily about my personal life. And, you know, I grew up in metropolitan Detroit. I'm a gay Latino. And that was just my truth. And that's just what I posted about me hanging out with my friends, me going to a bar to dance with my friends or whatever. And over the years, I would hear from readers, people that I never met, and they would tell me, you know, that I was like the only gay person that they knew. And this is the one of the few times I've mentioned this already, but I really want to mention my friend Kindred, who is now my very, very good friend. He does activist work. He lives in Washington, D.C., and he's an amazing, amazing person. And we met because of my blog. And, you know, we became friends. And it was only after we became friends that he told me that, you know, back when he was, you know, still in school, reading my blog, that he felt that I was the only gay friend that he had, and how important it was for him to have that, because he didn't have that in his real life. And the connection that I made with him without even realizing it became like a genuine friendship that I benefit from now. Whew. So
that's the power of art right there. Mm-hmm. Your blog, yep. which you just started right from your dorm room, yep. where were you?
Yep.
And that you could reach yep. people like that, yeah. Trent, that's really powerful. And to become friends with that person is even more
exactly,
powerful,
exactly,
actually.
Exactly. I am the fortunate one for having gained that friendship of him. So
that's a good point about this quote, because what we like about it is it's not saying if you connect with two people, they're so lucky yeah. they get to be in your orbit, which is how mostly...
Your communication, somebody is identifying with you mm-hmm. and able to relate to you and actually feel less alone, less mm-hmm. alien. That's
yeah,
amazing.
Exactly.
Charisma, I'm sure that you got and still do to this day with your, you know, with all your roles, the same kind of thing where maybe you haven't met the person, right? But they're letting you know through something you did, you performed, you created,
oh,
you whatever.
You might. Without a doubt, like the response that I, and you know, because of the age, this is not quite the 23rd century, but you know, in the 21st century, you know, we have social media now, and it is a wonderful sense that you're getting that connection lot, like in the moment with your audience. And the things that you say, and they DM you, or they tweet you, or they write in your comments, all of those feelings that they have, sometimes they're negative. But for mm-hmm. the most part, you know, I get a lot of that. And it's doing cons and interfacing with people in that world has really opened up my mind in the sense of how important our work on Buffy and Angel was to people mm-hmm. and how less alone they felt because of
right.
those stories and how yeah. it, you know, help them have a relationship with their parents because they would sit and watch it together, or, you know, their mother was dying of cancer and they got to watch it through their eyes, and, or, you know, somebody met at a bar and they both liked Buffy and they started a friendship or a relationship out of that, and people walking around with kids' names, like, you know,
Cordelia.
Cordelia.
It's one of the reasons, or charisma.
And it is 110, you know, it's really not been lost on me, the power of media and why it's so important representation is there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I spoke up. Like a couple of years ago, I wasn't being invited with the other craft girls to conventions. And I went public with it because yes, I like money. There's partially that about conventions. Let's not lie, people. Let's not sugarcoat that it is a space to make money. But more than that, it is a place to connect.
Yeah.
With your fans. Like-minded people, but also your fans, because the black people who watched that movie, they had never seen a black girl in a lead role in with the white girls. That was not that it was the first, but it was one of them. So I realized this movie was bigger than me in that sense, right? It's not about Rachel in the movie. It's that there was a black person hanging with them. Right. So I'm kind of glad I spoke up for the same reason you're saying. You never know how your work has reached people, you know?
I have a new found respect because of that. You know, it's very precious what we do. And so it's really important that, like, I'm going to be doing a Lifetime movie here. And, you know, it's a Lifetime movie. It's not a cult favorite movie. It's none of this, but it's an opportunity to play a part as to the best of my ability, because you never know how it'll resonate or touch people.
And also, when we speak, you know, we've talked in a past episode about Gene Roddenberry quote where he said the communicators, right, will be the ones who kind of spread the message, not necessarily scientists or the president or this or that. And I think this, to wrap it up, this particular quote when he says we're just trying to communicate, right? And I think it shows, again, his reverence for, you know, being able to speak the truth and reach masses of people as Charisma has with her work. Anyway, Trent, we got to wrap it up, but we're lucky enough to have Charisma for a couple more episodes. So if you want to see the video from today's quote, Trent, where do they go?
Yeah, you have to check out today's video of Patrick reading the quote on our social media accounts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we hope you'll join us again, where Charisma will be our guest again for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's quote. So tweet us, post us, DM us, whatever.
We're at Roddenberry on Twitter and Facebook, and at Roddenberry Official on Instagram.
Quoting Gene Roddenberry is a Roddenberry podcast hosted by me, Rachel True.
And me, Trent Venegas. Producing are Claire Kramer and Kelsey Goldberg, with executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Engineering and editing are provided by Elizabeth Joy Windham.
And special thanks to all those who were kind enough to read a quote and give a voice to Gene Roddenberry's everlasting words.
Live long and prosper.